This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It seems no matter what, even with the release of the files this week, that individuals in our country, a certain percentage, will never believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted on his own and killed JFK November 1963, Dealey Plaza. But this has been another week where the Kennedy files back in the news when Donald Trump, who discussed this in the first term, discussed this in his first campaign, discussed this past campaign, and has released more information. And someone who's been a part of this conversation for decades, who's joined us on this talk before, is the senior U.S. District Judge, United States District Court for Minnesota, Judge John Thunheim is with us. John is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Always a pleasure. I appreciate you coming on. I could lay this out, but you explain it better than I, sir. Tell everybody how you first were brought in to the Kennedy documents and how long this has been taking place, sir.
Well, it's been taking place for a long time, but I was the chair of the Assassination Records Review Board, which is a federal agency created in 1993. We spent 4 years, staff of about 35, going through all the records that were still classified, and we were able to release nearly everything. There were some redactions, not very many, but some. And so we did that work from 1994 through 1998, and the law said that all the records should be released without redaction by 2017, and obviously that didn't happen, and maybe we're seeing the end of it today. I'm not entirely sure, but there's a big release.
Let's go step by step. Let's go back to the 90s. When you and your team had that long a time to look at the information, from your perception about what happened November 22nd, 1963, what changed most for you when you looked at the new information, which had not been made available to the public at the time?
Well, I think that my biggest reaction was that the situation was a whole lot more complicated than perhaps the public understood, or really understands today, or perhaps will ever understand. There were so many investigations into the assassination. And the Warren Commission, which was, of course, the primary investigatory body, did not have any CIA records. They did not, the CIA shared nothing with them. And so it was an incomplete investigation. And the CIA shared more with the House Select Committee on Assassinations, but we found an enormous quantity of still unreleased records involving the CIA. And I think that a good share of the most interesting records now being released have to do with the CIA and largely their work in Cuba.
Okay, expand on that a little bit. When people think of the CIA and their work in Cuba, what is based in reality and what perception out there just doesn't hold up factually?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because the CIA obviously has operated with great secrecy for a long time. But we released a lot of records about what has been called Operation Mongoose, which was our official government action which attempted to assassinate Fidel Castro. It went on for quite some time. It later exploded in the Bay of Pigs fiasco. And there was just a lot of contact between the CIA, which ran these operations, and anti-Castro Cubans. And that's where some of the new information coming out in these files is going to tell us more. I will say that the 60,000 or so pages of records that have been released in the last few days in a couple of different dumps are really disorganized. So it's going to take a while for historians and researchers to get through it all, and maybe it's going to take a while for the National Archives to get them all organized and available for people to see. But I do think that it's going to shed more light on the CIA and perhaps contacts that the CIA had with Lee Harvey Oswald in the months before the assassination.
Okay, so when you mention not organized, when most people with this organization knew that as a candidate and as a president before, he wanted this to take place, in any way, was it incumbent upon them to, when these files were released, to have a bit more of a semblance of order to them?
Well, I agree. They should have had them all organized and ready to go. You know, the law said that everything should have been released in 2017. You know, we're 61 and a half years after the assassination. I mean, most of these records were created, you know, more than half a century ago. And, you know, I will say that we found the CIA's record-keeping system to be less than well-organized. The FBI's record-keeping system was almost perfect, but the CIA's was, you know, files tossed in a corner, and it wasn't very well-organized. So I'm not surprised that right now they weren't ready for this. I think President Trump surprised them with kind of the swiftness of his order. He said he was going to have these released, and they clearly weren't ready for it. So we're going to see probably some things in these records that weren't reviewed as thoroughly as they should have, including releasing Social Security numbers and things like that.
This is John Thunheim, Judge John Thunheim, Senior U.S. District Judge here in the District Court in our state. The information which is released in this disorganized way, is this new information to you personally, or is this just new information to those in the public who want to consume it?
Most of it is not new information to me. I'm suspecting that there may be some information there that is new, that documents that were not disclosed to us in the 1990s when they were required to be disclosed, either because they didn't want us to see something and possibly release it, or because they just hadn't found it by then or was stuck away in a file cabinet someplace. So there is some new information here. I haven't actually had a chance to look at a lot of the records yet. I'm assuming that the records that we released and had redacted material that was supposed to be released in 2017 is going to be released now. So the last of our redactions are released in this dump, but I can't tell you for sure because, like I said, this is just a pile of paper. It's not organized. There's no index. You have to even look closely at a document to see where it's coming from.
John, for somebody listening right now who has always been suspicious, who says, well, of course, all the documents weren't released in 17, and now we're getting more, and they're disorganized, and we won't get all of the information ever released, so they're going to think always that there are people within our government who know more, and for whatever reason, they are unwilling to share the full, unvarnished truth. What do you say to that individual who's listening right now?
Well, I would say that, you know, I don't think there's anyone in our government right now that knows the whole truth anymore. I think the people that may have known more have long since passed away and no longer on the scene.
Who would they be?
A long time ago. What?
Who would they be?
Sorry. Well, I think people who were involved at the time, people were always kind of the suspicious people who worked either within or in and outside of the CIA, for example, some of the suspicious characters that were investigated at the time. None of those people are with us anymore, and there's no contemporary record of what they might have said at the time. And that's why we're probably always going to be searching for answers that maybe aren't there anymore. And that's why these records are so important, because maybe they're going to shed more light on what happened. As of right now, you know, my view is that the evidence supports Oswald acting alone. Can I guarantee that? No, of course not. And there were contacts between Oswald and the CIA that are pretty clear from this record and from the record that was released before. It doesn't say that they were involved, but I think researchers can be looking very closely at these questions.
So you believe, without 100% guarantee, but with a strong belief, that it was Lee Harvey Oswald. Is there, among the myriad of ideas which have been discussed in books and documentaries and movies, is there one other scenario, or maybe even two other scenarios, which seems somewhat plausible to you, which at least those items make you think a little bit?
Well, I think these records are going to make us all think a little bit more, just the extent of the CIA's involvement with these anti-Castro Cubans, the fact that President Kennedy was very, very upset with what he felt he was being tricked by the CIA, and the Bay of Pigs fiasco was kind of a major, downside of the Kennedy presidency. And I think he discovered a CIA that was relatively lawless and did what they wanted to do. And they really, this wasn't uncovered until the Church Committee in the 1970s, when they were brought under further control. And the fact that they did have some connections with Oswald, either, well, both in New Orleans, where Oswald was in the summer of 63, and then also the trip that Oswald took to Mexico City, and the CIA knew all about that as well. That's going to be fodder for a lot more research, and we'll probably see some more books on the subject. And my view is that I think Oswald did it. I think he acted alone, but I've got an open mind, and I'd like to hear more. I'd like to see what these records show, especially the ones that were not made available to us in the 1990s.
Last thing, Judge, when we think of a major tragedy, whether it would be an attack at a president at some point now, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or attack of the country like 9/11, or look at what we just had with 9/11, as someone who's been a part of the legal process for decades, who's been a part of this examination of the Kennedy files since the mid-90s, do you think we could separate this, that we could separate the politics, that we could separate the anger, and we could have a definitive, thorough examination as we did, even with all the questions still asked, but as we have at different times involving the death of Jack Kennedy?
You know, I'd like to think that we can. I mean, these are important topics. I mean, the death of President Kennedy, assassination in an open limousine, I mean, horrifying. And, you know, to Americans who were alive at the time, it was almost unconscionable that something like that could have happened. And I think that anyone who is suspicious of the official viewpoint has a right to be, because a lot of records were hidden from people right away, which I thought was a big mistake. You know, let people see the records, let people understand what happened and make their own minds up. I mean, if someone can disagree with me, I'm happy to have that. I'm happy to have that discussion. That's what we should have in America, open discussion about things like this, and to see all the evidence laid out.
I always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much for what you've done for our state as a judge, as now a senior district judge, and also your involvement with these files. And I thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Chad. Always great to be on your show.
Judge John Thunheim, I want you to respond to me on the Kennedy assassination. I don't need to hear just from people around. There are going to be people who were born 20 years ago who still have a high curiosity about this. Do you believe Oswald acted on his own? Do you believe Oswald did it that day? John Thunheim saying with some level of confidence that he does believe it's Oswald, but he acknowledges the dialogue that did take place between Oswald and the CIA, and Oswald and questions about Cuba and Kennedy's lack of trust with the CIA, and of course the Bay of Pigs and hatred towards Kennedy, the mob has been mentioned, you name it. What is your belief on this? And also, if we had this conversation that's come up a number of times in this show, if we have something that would be one of those moments again in history where it would be a nation-dividing tragedy, a nation-altering tragedy, can we believe in the results that after this awful event happens, and let's hope no awful events happen, but that's just not realistic. And let's hope nothing ever happens close to an assassination of a president. Let's hope nothing ever happens close to 9/11 or Pearl Harbor. But could we all come to any sort of conclusion that 80 to 90% of the population would say, yep, I see the evidence? Because I don't even think it's close. I don't. And I think that's a sad statement. And by the way, the finger pointing would start, oh, I don't know, a second or two after it. And that's another sad indictment. What do you want to say on the topics I've raised? I'd love a phone call or two. Your curiosity in the Kennedy files? I believe it was Oswald. I've read plenty. I haven't touched the amount of information, the access to John Thunheim. But yes, I believe it was Lee Harvey Oswald. What do you want to say on the topics that I've raised tied to this? Love to hear from you. As I said, a phone call would be great, but a text also works. 651-461-9226. Among the texts on the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and how the fascination for some will never, ever end, someone brings up, well, if Oswald acted alone, why did Jack Ruby act the way he did? Many believe Jack Ruby was just very frustrated in his life and was angry about what happened and did what he did. There's always going to be questions on security. I mean, if you're listening to us and you're over the age, maybe what, 14, you've had a chance to see the footage, right? The footage of when Kennedy is killed, and you've seen the footage of Jack Ruby with Oswald. It is still absolutely stupefying that Ruby was able to get where he was able to get. And, you know, in our climate, and pretty much the climate since that sunny afternoon, just the thought of a president in that area and that long a territory in an open vehicle seems unlikely to ever happen again. But let's be honest. And by the way, on Donald Trump and the first assassination attempt, I am literally angry when I don't understand why we still don't have more information on that. That's the president of the United States now. And I still feel like the public It happened in 24. We're now in 25. I still feel like there are so many questions needed to be answered about that. But while we're talking about that, this has been out there the last few weeks. Let's just end this utter nonsense that CNN never covered any of Trump. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they covered Trump. So this inference, this stunningly insulting and laughably ignorant inside story that, oh, yes, CNN only carried the Butler, Pennsylvania rally because they got a tip that someone was going to try to kill Donald Trump. You're not that deep in conspiracy, are you? You don't think that evilly of CNN, do you? That they were tipped off and didn't know about it? Could it possibly be, oh, I don't know, that the RNC convention that the Republicans were having their national convention a couple days later and Donald Trump was about to announce his vice president and some thought it might be that day? I mean, just idiocy if you think that CNN somehow was in on what was going on. I mean, knock it off. More text here on Oswald Kennedy. Chad, there's no way Oswald could have acted alone. The bullet entered the front of his head, exited the back. Oswald was behind Kennedy. So how'd it get there? We've had this broken down numerous times, and I've read the numerous books on it. I believe that, yes, with a strong confidence, that Lee Harvey Oswald acted on his own. Texter saying they don't care. If you would have told someone at some point when the nation had moved to a different level of grieving and the shock was still there, and maybe it lessened just a little bit, that we would have files released closing in on 62 years later about this, that just would not seem possible. Not possible. More text, 651-461-9226. I believe that Oswald did it. Did he do it alone? I'm still not convinced. And again, raises the Ruby question that we've raised. Another text, as simple as this. Oswald did not act alone. A texter more elaborating. I don't believe Oswald acted alone. Let's see, where did it go here? It was an average shot without a tripod. I also find the claim that the final headshot that hit Kennedy came from behind, citing other reports that have raised questions on it. From one of the documentaries, plainly said that Jack Ruby was an absolute friend of the police, convinced them they just wanted to see a piece of history, but they also said that Ruby was extremely upset about the assassination. That is, without a doubt, part of the story. And there have been conflicting reports about Ruby and the access and how we've arrived at it. And we've had other individuals, listen, questions. I believe Trump said today he's going to release more information on MLK. Good. Obviously, this was at a time in the 60s when those three individuals were killed and there was so much tumult in our country. We have a great deal of tumult right now, and I'll go back to an attempted assassination of a former president at the time and now our president, and it is not accepting in any way that we do not have more further clear-cut information about the incompetence and maybe more importantly about the individual behind that attempt in Butler. Okay. This is a weekend where, for me, due to some circumstances, we might be consuming a little more entertainment, a little more of the movie side, a little bit more on the TV side. So what are you consuming right now that you are thoroughly enjoying? Whether it's a movie suggestion of a movie that is available in a theater right now, a movie which is available on the TV, because it seems like, as we know, the movie is in the theater and, oh, about 16 days later it's out. A television show. I mean, Carter sends me, I think Adam has sent me, I'm not kidding, about 12 texts on adolescence. He is so moved by adolescence.
Is he really sick? Let's be honest.
He might just be watching it again, yeah, to be honest, because I know he was prepared to watch it all over again, especially the one episode.
Yeah.
What is your entertainment choice? And I also want to get to a ticket dilemma, which I think is pretty intriguing, involving a large figure and whether this person will be there. But as far as something you're just loving right now, something you think I should watch or anybody listening should watch, what do you have? Just send a quick text, or if you want to elaborate through a phone call, that works also. 651-461-9226. Okay, it's Twitter. I'm on Twitter a lot. And I know the teams are inviting the media over. Really, Josh, it's really tough for media members to say no when the local teams invite them over and ply them with food.
Yeah.
Close circuit to whoever's headed over to Target Field next week. You're required to bring food back for the noon to three hosts.
Mm.
It's in the, I think it's in the union contract, Josh. Have
it might
you spotted
be.
That yet?
You know, they met, I believe, today and this week. I'm sure it's in the back end of their conversations.
Mm.
It is important.
So
though.
this one for $12.99. This is in New York. Mets game. $12.99. You get 12 hot dogs stuffed inside of a Mets helmet. Who the hell wants that? Kobayashi, is that it? I mean, do we want to go with the food eating jokes? And also, does that trouble you that they're that cheap in New York? Shouldn't they be a little, I mean, aren't we expecting everything just to be a little more expensive? And so,
are they straight off the street? Are they off the carts off of the street?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't mind those. I have more faith than 12 smushed, let's go with that word, 12 smushed hot dogs.
Dollar Dog Night-esque dogs, yes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Dollar Dog Night. By the way, the Metrodome hot dogs, people who pine for them, get out of here. Yuck. God, the boiled hot dog, dead to me. Grill it. And don't, you know where I stand on ketchup. So messy. Trip had the story the other day where, I mean, Messi's coming to town. And there are a number of tickets not sold for the phenomenal stadium, Allianz. I mean, it's as good as any venue we have. And then you're like, Messi, what are we doing? So many people are worried he's not going to show. Because this has happened with some regularity. Getting older. Getting injured, and also, don't think Messi really wants to play as many games as he used to. Let's just admit it. So you've had some places where they face this and have offered up a complimentary ticket in return. You need to reimburse if we're talking entertainment, okay? I even think if a singer is compromised, I've told this story before where this has got to be about a decade ago, saw The Who at the X, and Roger Daltrey just couldn't sing. They should have canceled the show. And I love The Who. And at the end he goes, I owe you one. Yeah, I never got that money back. Does Raj have my address? Did I miss something, Raj? So if it's an artist, a group, yeah, you get your money back. But a team comes to town, and the main guy isn't there. With the NBA, this is a problem on a regular basis. Josh, as a sports aficionado, how realistic is it? Timberwolves are selling tickets. They sold out the lower bowl this year, and I would assume they're going to have success selling tickets next year with the popularity of much of this team. Some of it certainly tied to what happens in the playoffs. But what is realistic for teams if the Lakers, let's say, came to town and there's no LeBron and no Luka? Is it just what we've done forever? Buyer beware? Or is this where teams, and it's easy to, for me to get hot take, talk show host, no LeBron, give me my money back. How practical, realistic, because legally it's tough on us. If we buy the seats, yeah, there's no guarantee. Are we going to see any sort of adjustment about this, you think, let's say the next 5-10 years? What's your guess?
I would say it depends on the sport. If you have a sport like MLB or NBA who are doing okay, but definitely TV and, you know, popularity-wise could probably be doing better financially, I think
NBA just signed a multi-billion-dollar TV deal.
Yeah.
I know the ratings are down, but people are streaming it
as many ways. As far as ratings, but as far as getting people in the door down the line, I think it definitely depends on the sport. But I've also, as someone who has fallen victim to the I can't wait to go see LeBron and I don't get LeBron fiasco, It's tough to say, but I think it's going to come into play. Like, somebody's going to have to step in at some point and be kind of the middleman between the fans and the team and their market, basically.
Yeah, I guess you could see legal challenges.
They're not legally required to play if they don't want to. That's kind of where the line is.
It's not going to be legal challenges, but can they put enough pressure? I doubt it, because that possibility has been there for decades. It just has been heightened. You may have touched on it, too. It might depend on the leverage the sports, that particular sport has. And with MLS in certain cities, if one guy has that much sway, and that would be Messi and no one's close in MLS, you might have to do it. But let's just be honest. If the Wolves continue to sell tickets to this level, and it's not exactly uncommon, it's not exactly fresh, it's been going on for a decade plus, I don't think you have that leverage. I would love to see some helpfulness, but also injuries happen. And sometimes it's not fake. Sometimes it's not the phony rest. And you can't just say, well, ACL, so I get my money back. It just doesn't work that way. But I will be just curious to watch, because there's just going to be more platforms out there to complain about this. Okay, let's take a look. What do you have on the entertainment recommendation? What is a TV show that you're enjoying right now that you think is worth telling me and the audience? What's a show you're watching recently that makes a lot of sense? Because of Adam, Adolescence is on the table for this weekend and will be consumed, and I'm looking forward to it. What else do you have? Dan will join the mix. We'll get a little preview of Dan's show, too, since he's in for Jason. 651-461-9226. Okay, here's some shows. I mentioned Adolescence. That's going to be a part of the fair at some point this weekend. I started Paradise. I really liked Paradise. I need to get back to it. Severance. So I jumped into the first season. Loved the first episode. Watched the second episode of the first season while I was doing too many other things. It was just, wait a second, what is happening? Wait, I need to sit down and watch it. I need to get back to it, because I know I have a couple really good friends who are mad at me that they can't talk Severance with me, because the finale for the second season was last night. So I need to jump back on that one. And then I keep hearing more and more good things, Dan Cook, about The Pit. This is Noah Wiley, Dr. Carter fame from ER. It's based around an emergency room. It's based around real facts. But then there are other elements which are supposedly completely unlike other medical shows, which I don't quite – I heard the explanation once, and I need to go back and see it. But – so I got a few. Do you have something that you've really enjoyed lately or something you really want to watch?
You know, I've honestly gotten away from a lot of scripted TV at this point. And I'm doing a whole lot more like YouTube
watching.
It's beneath
you?
That's not beneath me.
Is that what you're saying?
There just isn't, yep. Like, timing-wise, with the weird schedule that I live with my life, it's hard to dedicate myself to a specific schedule, you know, for yep. stuff anymore. So if I can stream a series here or do something like that, I'll try to do that. But it's just, it's not easy, man. It's not easy. So I do a lot of watching on YouTube actually lately, and it's not TV shows. It's just different YouTube channels that I'm into. So
yeah, I jump into that. I also, for amusement, and I'm not apologizing for one second, I love TikTok. TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. TikTok's a huge time sink.
Oh, my God. But, you know, sometimes people think if it's a time suck, it's negative. There are many times I watch and feel like I laugh.
I'm not losing hours of my life because I'm not entertained.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, you listen to the show occasionally. I'm not going there to break down the news. I'm going there to be amused. Okay.
Yeah.
No, zero.
When I see any new stuff on TikTok, I'm out on any kind of new stuff. It's the funny stuff,
yes.
And it's the entertaining stuff. It's, you know, my astronomy obsession now. It's all that kind of stuff that I'm feeding there.
A lot of people talking Shrinking. I love Shrinking. I thought the first season was a 9.5. Second season had moments, but it's still really, really good. October 8th, about anti-Semitism. There's a lot of other good candidates. All right. What do you got? You got 3 hours. What's coming up?
We're going to be doing Card to Sharks as per usual on Friday. We'll talk with Dan Hayes from The Athletic. We're going to talk a little Twins. We are less than a week to opening day. So we'll talk about that. And then headed out at the end of the show tonight, I want to know what people are looking forward to this weekend. What has he got on the docket? Is it just being by yourself and having some downtime? Or is there something specific you got planned? I want to know what people are excited about as we head into the weekend.
Jason is allowing you to go near Card to Sharks.
Yes. Well, actually, I don't even know that he's allowing it. I just told him I was going to do it. So
it's an upgrade.
Yeah. Well, you know where it's. I mean, you're the one who puts it away.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to say we're not even doing like the big board over here because we don't have that much room in the studio. But we'll wing it. It'll be good.
How am I going to like that new studio?
How do you like anything new? I'm just saying.
That's a very good point.
I mean, you know.
It's a very, very accurate point from someone who knows me very well. Josh, excellent work. Dan Cook, he's going to take you home.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, right here on the home of the Twins, CCO.